Praise be Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father Leger, for the invitation to preach this morning. Thank you for your prayers, for my vocation. This parish, I consider my home parish, and it's a joy to be here this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you recall, on Ash Wednesday, we were each signed with ashes in the sign of a cross. And I'd like to begin by reflecting upon that liturgical expression and the meaning behind that. First, we were signed with ashes. In the first reading that we heard from the book of Genesis, we're reminded that Adam came from the earth. Adam did not create himself. Adam was a creation of God. And Adam was given life through the breath of God, his spirit, his soul. Adam was created by God. Adam came from the earth. So too, each of us were created by God. We did not create ourselves. We were created by God from the earth. That means that each of us too, like Adam, because of his sin, each of us too are susceptible to death. None of us are exempt from this reality of evil. Each of us will die. The dust that was signed on our forehead, the ashes, that's a reminder to us of our humanity. If you are not reminded in this holy season that you will die, you have not prayed this holy season properly. The entire point of the beginning of this holy season is to recall that we will die. It's to recall that death, something that God did not create, something that God did not will, death is a reality of our human existence. And yet, in the same way, this holy season reminds us that death was conquered by Jesus Christ. Because the ashes are not placed on our head in a haphazard way. The ashes are not smeared upon our foreheads. The ashes are placed in the sign of a cross, the sign of Jesus' victory, the sign of the Lord's conquering of the evil of death. The ashes which adorn our forehead in the sign of the cross do not contradict the command of Christ in the gospel that we heard on Ash Wednesday. In that gospel, the Lord said, "Do not do things that attract attention to yourself. Do not make your prayer a public act that is only for your own self-glorification. Instead, the Lord said, when you pray, pray quietly." Now these ashes which we bore on our forehead at the beginning of this season, they were a public act. But they were a public act that was a command of the church's tradition, because they're a public act that signify to the entire world that Jesus Christ is victorious. They're an act that signify to the world that's in desperate need of the name of Jesus Christ that he is king, that his cross is victorious. You know, you can watch the news, you can look on Instagram or Facebook or anything, and if you were an alien from another planet, you could have no idea that Jesus Christ exists based on the culture in which we live. You could have an idea that Jesus Christ was non-existent based on what we see in our culture and in our media. And yet, on Ash Wednesday, Jesus Christ, his name is proclaimed and brought to the forefront because all of us that were marked with ashes, we went out into the world, hopefully, and kept the ashes on our foreheads to signify that God is relevant. That in a world that has tried to push God out to the peripheries, a world that is still in need of God's love, that he is no less relevant, even today, 2,000 years later. I've had the privilege over the last week of participating in two baptisms, of celebrating two baptisms, and today I'll participate in a third. And so the sacrament of baptism has been has made a deep impression on me, and I've reflected on it quite a bit. In baptism, we participate in the death of Christ. In baptism, we are marked forever as adopted sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And in baptism, we are made temples of the Holy Spirit. We are consecrated forever. What we did on Ash Wednesday in placing ashes on our foreheads That was only a sign, a reminder of the most important ritual, the most important moment, in fact, the most important first sacrament that we receive in the Latin Church, baptism. Obviously, the reception of Holy Communion is the most blessed sacrament, but that is the most important moment, perhaps the most important day in your life, when you were made a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ by adoption. In those sacred moments, you died with Christ. You went down into the waters, and you rose a new creation by God. This season causes us to reflect, then, upon the themes of death and resurrection. If the ashes which adorned our forehead were signs of death, and yet signs of God's victory, then we too should ask ourselves, what is it inside of me this season, this Lent, these 40 days? What is it inside of me that needs to be crucified and needs to be resurrected? What is it inside of me that needs to be changed, that needs to be given new life? There are so many things which we will bring to the altar today in our private prayer. Perhaps there's suffering in your life. Perhaps there's some loss that you can't wrestle with. Perhaps there's strife or sickness. Perhaps there's pride. Perhaps you too are tempted in one of the ways in which Christ was tempted, Christ who overcame those temptations in the gospel which we just heard. Christ was tempted by bread, by Satan, to change rocks into bread. He was tempted to comfort. Christ was tempted to test God, to throw himself off the parapet of the temple, to pride. Christ was tempted to power, to have all the kingdoms for his own, for an earthly power. And yet if you ask yourself, can I overcome temptation? The clear answer is, with God's grace, you can. Because with God's grace, with the grace of God, which is poured out to all of us in a special way in this holy season, Christ has given us the example of that. Today in this Eucharist, in this Holy Mass, we should ask the Lord to help us to know what it is that he needs to crucify and resurrect in our life. Whatever sin it is that we need to let go of. Whether it's a sin that's a habitual sin that we go to confession for over and over and over again. Whether it's a sin that we don't yet know. Because perhaps our pride has kept us from being able to recognize that in our life. We should ask the Lord to help us to know that sin or those sins and that part of us that needs to be resurrected, that needs to be given the new life of Easter. Because if we don't run to the cross, if we don't run towards the Lord, if we run anywhere else, we won't end up at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. I'd like to conclude by reflecting a little bit on the ritual for ordination, which has left a strong impact in my mind and in my heart over the last week. One of the most beautiful moments is, to me, the Litany of Saints, where the ordinand lays on the ground. And the point of that is important not just for me, not just for those who are ordained into holy orders, but it's important for all of us. In those moments, you lay on the ground. You lay completely before the altar, and you offer your entire life to the Lord Jesus. Each of us, whether you are married, whether you are single, whether you are consecrated, or whether you are ordained, each of us needs to do that in the season of Lent. Each of us needs to lay ourselves down completely before Christ. As this season commences, as our Lenten fast begins, let us not think that it's us who are doing the hard work in this season. Let us not be filled with pride. That's a great temptation for many people, especially people that are more active in practicing Catholics. But I would challenge all of us who are here today to not be filled with pride to think that these Lenten disciplines which we've begun are in and of themselves making us holy. It's what Christ is doing inside of us. So today, when you come forward to kneel at the altar rail to receive Holy Communion, lay your entire self down before the Lord. Because at this Eucharist, at this celebration of the Mass, there will be a little resurrection. Bread and wine, which now is just bread and wine, will be changed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Bread bread and wine which represents you and I will be changed into the living presence of God. That in and of itself is a miracle worth giving thanks to God for. If you believe that Christ can do that with bread and wine, why can he not do that with you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.